All right, it's WrestleMania 26 preview audio number 4. Yeah.
Yep.
Since Kevin forgot to tell everybody last time, this is going to be the Triple H versus Sheamus match. You know, the one everyone's looking forward to. So
yeah,
join us next time for audio number 5. Okay, so let's get into this as much as you can. It's an interesting one.
Yes, it is. It is Triple H really being booted really far down the card.
Yeah. Well, he's being booted down pretty far down the card, but it almost seems like a fitting place for him right now because he didn't have anything going on. So there's really nothing to justify him getting up higher on the card at all.
Yeah, I just honestly thought that he'd weasel his way onto one of the title matches one way or the other, but he hasn't. I mean, Edge, Jericho, you can't really, because that's pretty personal. Cena, Batista, you can make your argument that he could have shoehorned his way into that one.
Yeah, well, Cena, Batista, yes, but that would have absolutely destroyed that match, though, and the build-up of it. I like the fact that there's only one triple threat match, and I think they didn't know what to do, so they had to throw something together out for the Legacy Orton match.
Oh, yeah. Because
I think the triple threat match is played out anyways, but this isn't a triple threat match, so whatever.
Yeah.
But no, I think it's an interesting match for the fanboys like us who are like, oh, that's the guy Triple H wants to push. You know, there's his workout buddy. That's his best whatever, you know, one of those sort of things. And,
yes.
I mean, here's, so of course, here he is, and here he's got a, I mean, for Sheamus, this is a great draw.
Yeah. I even liked Triple H's comparison of him, you know, doing the same thing, or a similar type thing.
Yeah.
For his first WrestleMania match and losing it,
mm-hmm.
and having to scratch and claw his way back up. And I'm like, you know what? I mean, as much as he's kind of being a dick, like, he's also saying, hey, you know, I still made it back. Like, it's still a bit of a redemption story.
Mm-hmm.
Well, maybe not redemption, but it's still like, hey, even if you lose, it's not the end of the world. But
yeah.
You've still got to work really hard to get back to...
Yeah.
What happens if you do lose?
Yeah. I think that's a positive way of looking at how Triple H almost buried Sheamus. Which is the weird thing in that if you, to try and separate what we know is fact. I mean, this is Triple H in interviews has said they work out together. He gives them pointers. He listens, and Sheamus says he listens to him, all this stuff. So you've got that teacher-mentor thing going behind the scenes. So it's rather difficult to separate the idea that the only reason Sheamus is where he is because of his friendship with, you know, Hunter. I mean, yes, he's worked for how many years on the indie scene here and over in Ireland?
Yeah. But, of course, you know, you watch NXT and working for 10 years on
there
the
you go.
Scene doesn't mean squat. So, mm-hmm. you know.
Right.
Yeah, no, we don't have double standards when we're talking about
yeah.
stuff.
Yeah, well, I mean, I guess when a guy's tall and muscular, then it's okay, you know.
Yep.
But I think it's going to be, for Sheamus, this doesn't really have much to do with the match, but this is just going to be an overall thing. He has to lose... the pale white skin and get some sort of pigmentation, and maybe he can't, and if so, fine. But if they're doing that on purpose still, it's not, he doesn't have a marketable look that way. I hate to say it, you know, I don't know if we have any albino listeners, but you guys aren't marketable. Sorry, you're not. So
yeah, I don't know. To me, it's kind of interesting. I don't know if it's, you know, maybe it isn't that marketable of a look, really. But I guess I don't really have that much of a problem with it either.
I guess I didn't have a big problem with it until I saw him in the ring with Randy Orton, and it was like, holy shit. It was like a Halloween decorations. I mean, one guy's orange, one guy's stark white. So it was a little strange, you know?
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't know why this match is taking place other than the fact to get these two guys on WrestleMania.
On the card.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, that is really the only reason. Like, they just didn't have anything better. I don't know if they actually thought about that, because Triple H was the one that pinned him there in the Elimination Chamber. So that gives them some sort of backstory,
yeah.
But, you know, it's still not a whole lot. Because really, Triple H hasn't been, and I've said this before, Triple H has not been a singles wrestler really since about WrestleMania last year. It's been him and Michaels as a tag team in DX.
Mm-hmm.
So it's kind of strange. You're like, oh, yeah, that's right. He's really been a singles wrestler for most of his career at this point.
Yeah. And I would love to think that they actually had that planned out. That's why Triple H pinned Sheamus. I would love to say, you know, they're like, all right, this is how we're going to build up your match with him. Huh? So, I don't know.
Well, to me, that's still like, yeah, it's kind of important, but it's still, you know, it's still not much of a backstory.
I'm sorry, dude. Full disclosure, I turned on Showgirls in the background.
Outstanding.
Holy shit, man. It's just so fucking stupid. I haven't seen this movie in like 5 years. The idea that Kyle MacLachlan actually, like, supposedly comes from, what's her name, Jesse Spano, wraithing around like she's being raped by a blender is just ridiculous.
What's her name?
Elizabeth Berkley?
Yeah.
That's it. And she, I mean, she looked like a total crack whore with the makeup they did in this. Just... And this is the Sheamus Triple H match. Dude, there's nothing going on for this match. There's nothing here.
Yeah, because... Well, and you made me think about it, or at least when I was talking about the... comparing it to... Triple H shoehorning himself into one of the title matches.
Yeah.
Like, he has a real backstory with Batista.
Yeah.
That they could, at this point, play up. You know, the whole evolution thing. But, yeah, just the one match pinning him, just... Because that really was... That was, like, Triple H's first match back as a singles wrestler in, what was it, about 8 months or something, essentially?
Yeah.
I mean, I'm sure he wrestled some singles matches in between.
Oh, yeah, on the road and that, because Michaels didn't go on the road, so.
Yeah.
Yeah. I know what you mean. Like, storyline purposes, yes, that would probably
I'm
be his first.
Clearing it up for everybody at home listening.
Yeah.
Just to not
okay.
sound like a complete moron.
I don't see Sheamus winning this match at all. I can't see it.
Yeah, I don't. He's in the cool-off period. They still haven't given him a whole lot of mic time, which I believe we discussed about Raw this past
mm-hmm.
week. They finally did give him a little bit of mic time, but as an overall whole, he still hasn't gotten very much.
All right. Here's the important part, and this ties into the Shawn Michaels match. If this match is on later in the card, I don't think anything's going to happen with Triple H interfering with the Shawn Michaels Undertaker match. But to say for some reason, and I know we said the Money in Bank was going to be the first match, but if for some reason this is like the curtain jerker or the second match, does that lend itself to Triple H interfering in the Undertaker Shawn Michaels match? I mean, especially if Triple H wins, you know, goes clean over the bad guy and then interferes later on in the show just to get his name out there, you know, get his presence again out there on the show. Kind of like, you know, all right, here's your reward for being late, being first early in the card.
Yeah, it does make At least your logic makes sense. I don't know if that would, if his chances of doing it are more prevalent if they are early in the card. I would think that if he is going to interfere, they would put them early on the card,
Yeah.
but I don't know if it makes it any more likely. I don't think prevalent was a good word. More likely. I don't think it makes it any more likely.
Yeah.
You know, if they're planning on doing it, he really could be on early or he could be on late. And I don't think it is a big difference one
Yeah.
way or the other.
I was just trying to think of the whole Triple H turn when China came back to help him beat Kane, and then he came down and cost X-Pac the European title or against Shane McMahon. Like everyone thought he was coming down to help out, and he ended up turning on X-Pac and joining the corporation, all that good stuff.
Yeah.
I just see him maybe like one of those sort of things. So.
Yeah, I don't see him really turning on Michaels like you kind of said in the Taker
Yeah.
Michaels preview that
No, I just.
he isn't going to blatantly interfere and cost Michaels a match.
Yeah.
Like it'll be something where it backfires when he was supposed to be helping him out.
Yeah. I get I still I don't know. I just with the way things go, they want Michaels to go out, but I don't think they want him being beaten soundly. So but I don't know, I just think that Triple H's placement is just too low on the is just too low. This match isn't high profile enough. So he's got to get his name out there somehow, you know, to better his position, to better his name. Even if he's getting up there in age and, you know, he's talking about the youth and all this stuff. I mean, you know.
Well, nobody's stepping up, dude.
Yeah, well, whatever.
Yeah, no, I mean, he almost does need to have a. If Michaels isn't there, he almost needs to have more of a push behind him in a reestablishment of, you know, the whole Cerebral Assassin, King of Kings
Yeah.
deal. You know, because even if it isn't a long-term thing, they almost need him, you know, for a short-term thing.
Yeah. And I'm also trying to think of heels. Now you got Sheamus, who I think the crowd's slowly starting to buy, but not greatly. Batista, apparently he's on Raw now. I'm trying Randy Orton, but they don't seem to know what to do with him. So where's, you know, where are the big heels at? So it's
Well,
possible, you know, Triple H, it may be Triple H's time. And that's
yeah.
why he may, you know, he took the small match to become a bigger star or a bigger presence after WrestleMania now. And if Cena beats Batista, you know, that sort of thing. So he's got someone to fight, but I don't know,
Well, like I said, I think he even has a built-in story with Batista, so he could fight
man.
Batista.
Yeah, that too.
'Cause really, with all of the, and I guess we can talk about this later, but all of the rebuilding that they've had to do with Batista, I don't really want to see him lose either,
No,
really. But
no. But yeah, that'll be later. So,
yeah.
all right. But we've, I mean, we've covered Showgirls, and we've covered Triple H and Sheamus. So, I think everyone's got the bang for their buck in this match. I mean,
Yeah.
what the hell are you supposed to talk about Sheamus? I mean, what can you talk about Sheamus?
Nothing.
So,
He's really a blank slate.
yeah.
Like, he may have been around for the last year, but he's still pretty blank in the
Yep.
and again, it goes back to not having a lot of mic time.
Yeah.
There, he didn't get a whole lot of mic time in ECW. He didn't get a whole lot when he came to Raw. He's just won a lot.
So, yeah, I mean, it's. We both agree Triple H wins, and then we just go from there. So, all right. So, we're going to check out. I know this wasn't exactly centered too much on him, but like I said, what can you say? So, I'm going to check out. Kevin, you can get rid of us.
Okey-doke. Well, it's sippy time beer once again, and it's still the Yuengling. And stay tuned for the next match, which will be Mr. John Cena against David Batista Knight.